Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If it's fall in the South and it's Saturday, it means one thing: college football.
But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on a run. We're going to go, 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 go.
It's time for Saturday Football in the South.
Not for the devil.
Not for these guys.
Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael.
Take you around the SEC, ACC, and all over the college football landscape.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
Are you ready? For some real college football talk?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Then let's kick this off. It's college football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
College football's national championship game is set. It happens a week from Monday. We'll have a battle of the Tigers as LSU and Clemson meet. We'll get into that a little bit today. We got a whole lot of stuff to look at, including a rewind back to those semifinals. Take a look at some of the New Year's Day bowl games, some of the other bowl games that happened as well over the course of the last week. You can find us at 929 The Game. You can find this show at 929 CFB Game Time. John Chuckery is at JMCH316, Randy McMichael at RandyMac81, and of course you can find me at ChrisGoforth1. Glad to have you hanging out with us on a Saturday morning. Watching college football, guys, on New Year's Day, since this new playoff format has come into existence, New Year's Day is not the same day that it once was, John, in college football.
Yeah, we were talking about that out in the bullpen, about it's weird that you have only four games on New Year's Day, only two of like the traditional big, you know, Big Six bowl game matchups, and then having the Gator Bowl the day after New Year's. I mean, it's just you know, it's a new world. You know, I'm still not adjusted to it because, you know, New Year's Day was just such a
fun day.
Big day to just sit and eat all day, and watch.
Yeah. That was the day.
Yeah, and when I grew up, there was no such thing as football after New Year's Day.
That's right.
But, you know, in the BCS era and everything else, you know, it's changed. But it's just weird because, you know, like, honestly, the Sugar Bowl, if Georgia hadn't have been in it, I mean, I couldn't even stay up as it is to watch the Sugar Bowl. I mean, you know, I couldn't stay up to watch the whole thing, you know, as it was. If Georgia hadn't been in it, I'd have been like, I'll watch a little bit. But
my thing was, I was like, can it hurry up and start, please? All right.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, cool. Y'all got it. You want an MVP? Get them off the stage so we can start this game. Now, I watched everything. I watched all the celebrations because, you know, that's the last time I'm going to get to see my dogs play until this upcoming season. So I sat there and watched it. But, dude, it's like it took forever for the Sugar Bowl to get here.
I know.
The other day.
Ugh. Didn't stop folks from watching on TV, though. 19.6 million viewers for the semifinals. That's up from 19.3 million from last year. So
is 8:45 just too late to start?
Yeah,
it is to me.
When I saw that, when I saw the 8:45 start, I was like, wow, it's really starting that late. I was like, didn't you start at 8?
Because, well, they don't want overlap. You know, I mean, now that you only got four games,
right?
You know, it used to be in the old days you would have overlap. And it was kind of funny because Alabama and Auburn played at the same time,
right?
You know, against each other. But they don't want overlap now, Chris. So because of that, you got to wait for the whole Rose Bowl to be over with. You know, it used to be in the old days, you could get the Fiesta Bowl or the Orange Bowl or the Sugar Bowl started.
That
you know?
Was before ESPN owned
right.
them all.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You would have them on different networks at that point.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Nope.
And I don't know why they don't on their ESPN family of networks, at least between ABC and ESPN.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, put it out, you know, spread those things out a little bit.
I can't watch that thing on the deuce, though, that whole.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I don't know what that's supposed to be. That whole.
I haven't even turned it on.
Have you seen that thing? They got like four screens.
Yeah.
And just I can't do it, man.
You know they're going to do it again for the Natty? They're going to have it on. Oh, they're going to have every, all of them.
Yep, because they have. On like the college ESPNU, they have the panel.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the SEC network's doing something.
Yeah, Feinbaum usually has his get together.
Oh, that's right.
They have that group. So they got panels, and they got you know, ESPN Deportes is going to happen. You know what I mean? Everybody's got to have a gimmick to go with the national title game.
Hey, before we get to LSU, Oklahoma, and Clemson, Ohio State, real quick, guys, just a couple of headlines from around college football of note. Joe Moorhead fired at Mississippi State after two years.
This is a weird, weird. And they're not even saying that that incident with the quarterback was the final straw. It sounds like there was a couple other things that just kind of were the final straw.
It seems like he was never a good fit for him.
That's what the AD is saying.
It was never a good fit for him down there.
Wasn't a good fit. You think maybe he should have taken the Rutgers job when he had a chance?
Does he go back and be the OC for Chiano? Because I don't know if he has one of those guys in there yet. I mean,
somebody will bring him in as an OC.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, somebody will give him a look, but I'm trying to think of what other jobs are open that he would be a part. Not for head coach, but I'm trying to think about, you know, who's looking for OCs because
SMU just lost theirs. He just went to LaRue, whatever his name is. Just went to Miami. Miami.
Yes. Let me throw this out. I know this is completely whacked out of left field.
Rhett Lashley.
Yeah, this is completely whacked out of left field from any name that's been thrown out there. If you're Mississippi State, would you go try to get Les Miles?
If you're who?
Les Miles. If I'm Mississippi State. Did you go get Les Miles?
I call him. Why not? Why not? This is his territory. He knows it. Yeah. He knows the area.
Yeah.
He's a name that they need. But it's still Mississippi State, and they're still in the West.
West. But if you want to win the press conference, you see what that other school just did in their state?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I wonder if the – and you'll never get anybody from Mississippi State to admit this at all. But I just wonder if Lane Kiffin – coming to Ole Miss didn't kind of change, maybe speed up this process a little bit.
But you're also hearing, though, Chris, that this goes back to Dan Mullen. Like the problems that they're having internally, they're saying go back to Dan Mullen. It's not just Joe Moorhead. This is going back even before into Dan Mullen's era about how some of the internal things of the program are being run.
They've got a university president there that is not very well liked, I think, by the athletic boosters. And supposedly now he's the guy that's going – they're going to use a search firm for vetting and logistics and stuff like that. But it will be the university president that will make the decision, not the AD.
Are they using the same one that Ole Miss used for DJ Durkin?
Wow. Speaking of – that was the next note I had is Ole Miss hiring DJ Durkin, which – I mean, I guess that's a Lane Kiffin
thing. I saw your tweet. I know what you're about to say. I saw your tweet.
What did I tell you guys? Ole Miss wants to be in the football business.
Yes, they do.
DJ Durkin is a damn good defensive coordinator.
He damn sure is.
Okay. That's what they hired him for. Yep. And I ain't telling you it's right, wrong. Y'all can figure all that out. Ole Miss wants to be in the football business. And I keep telling you, they look at good guy Matt Luke. He was there at Georgia, for the Sugar Bowl. It's all nice. They don't want to be 4-8. 3 years ago, they were in the damn Sugar Bowl. They were in the Peach Bowl. That's where they want to be. They don't want to sit there and be 4-8. And if that means Lane Kiffin and DJ Durkin help roll millions of dollars into – hey, man, guess what they're going to do?
They're going to do it.
Yeah. I understand. But guess what? They want to be in the football business.
Yeah.
North Carolina showed you one time they wanted to be in the football business. Schools would rather be in that business than be 4-8, and Matt Luke's a good guy. F that.
DeAndre Swift headed to the NFL draft. Mel Kiper has him rated as the number one running back, number 16 overall player. I don't know if there's any real surprise there.
How could he come back?
How could he come back? There was nothing for him to prove at Georgia. So, I mean, and he's.
We going to get Jake's decision next week?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, once Tua gets his out of the way on Monday and everything.
I think Jake will make a decision after that. Yeah. I think Jake's decision is already made. Maybe he's waffling over it.
Do you guys think that, because I said this the other night too, and we talked to Roddy Nabulsi the other night. Do you think Jake feels a lot better given the way the Baylor game went, that he kind of. There's some more self-confidence after how well he played against Baylor. Because, you know, he'd gone four games in a row where he was under 50% completion and had not played well at all. You know, I think that performance against Baylor, I'm not saying that made his final decision, Chris, but don't you think he went into thinking about a lot of things in a much better mindset? Had he have tanked against Baylor, you know, his decision might be different. You know, I don't know. Randy, to your point, he may have already had it made.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure that Baylor performance doesn't make him feel a lot better about where he's headed.
The one thing I know about Jake Front, he loves college football. He does. And he's not a guy that is desperate to go to the NFL because I think he's one of those kids that, okay, I know I'm going. I feel like I might have some unfinished business here at UGA. So that's that. I mean, I'm sure that weighs a lot in his decision. I thought he played really well. And I think that if he played like that the whole year, it would have been a different story. Because you needed that consistency from him. That was the biggest thing, was the consistency.
Do you think he looks at that and says, okay, I see what we could be next year?
Yeah. See, he's the type of quarterback that would do that. Yes. He is a
Cerebral.
Cerebral, thank you.
Yeah.
That's him.
He's Triple H. He's a cerebral assassin.
But no, seriously, that's what he is.
Always comes back to wrestling,
Ryan. He's not chasing the glory of the NFL.
Right.
He's not lured like that to the NFL.
But you know, Kuiper still has him as like the number four quarterback.
Yeah.
And McShay is really
high. McShay loves him.
Yeah.
But the thing with Jake Fromm is that if he stays or elites, he's still going to be drafted in probably the same place.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, back of the first round type kid, so you can get that fifth year option on him. That's where you'll probably end up taking him. But I mean, I would.
But nobody's going number one at quarterback next year over that guy.
That dude in Clemson. Oh no, he will be the first pick.
He'll probably be
the first pick this year.
You sure somebody won't put his name? They won't go. Red Auerbach that did with Larry Bird and just draft him a year early and hold on to him.
Yeah, he might. He would have been the first pick this year over Joe Burrow. As great as Joe played this year, he would be the first pick over him.
You know what?
Well, a lot of people said after his freshman year he could have been the first pick that year.
Yeah.
We got a long way to break that game down and everything. You sure you want to bet against that guy?
Nope.
I know how good Joe Burrow – man, Randy, no doubt. Joe Burrow and LSU, what they did, I understand. You sure you want to bet against that kid?
I'm with you, dude.
You really sure you want to bet against that kid
that dude
not beating you?
He's special, man. I keep saying it. I'm like – you know, Dabo, but they're searching for some reason to get mad about something. Ain't nobody doubting you, Dabo. Just hush. All right? Just hush, Dabo.
How good do Georgia fans feel about a Sugar Bowl victory and a Justin Fields loss?
Oh, I don't know. You gotta ask.
Come on, Randy.
I'm sure they feel good.
You got your guy right here.
You know, I'm not petty like that. I don't root for anybody to not do
Justin
well.
Fields and Ohio State lost and Georgia won the Sugar Bowl. You ain't telling me. You can do a little jig.
Bro,
you were Bruce Willis at the end of what was that movie?
Last Boy Scout.
Last Boy Scout.
Yeah, Last Boy Scout.
Yeah, you're up there on the stage with the lights doing a jig, man.
What can we take away from Georgia's Sugar Bowl win and the Dogs heading into 2020? What is to come? We'll get to that when we come back. It's college football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The disease and that creeps in at Georgia where kids believe they're better than they are, and they read their own press clippings. And our team chaplain did a wonderful job today expressing that in a verse, and I can't quote the verse. Jake probably can. But, you know, he basically said that when you start reading about yourself and believing your own press clippings is when you start to fall.
That's that rat poison, isn't it? Haven't we heard that somewhere before? Isn't that rat poison? College football game time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, glad to be with you on this Saturday morning. We have a national championship game set. We'll take a look back at those semifinal games coming up here in a few minutes. We'll also talk about some of the other New Year's Day bowl games that went on. But first, guys, let's talk Sugar Bowl and about the Georgia Bulldogs going into 2020. John, I don't care what happens going forward, that Sugar Bowl and the win over Baylor will forever be, to me, known as the George Pickens game, because I think we've waited all year. Georgia, as a wide receiver core, and I know there were some injuries there, a disappointing group this year from what we had hoped they could be, but I think George Pickens came out and showed at the Sugar Bowl that he could be the guy.
Yeah, and we saw splashes throughout the year, not just him, but obviously Dominic Blaylock as well. You know, wide receiver should not be the angst for Georgia next year that it was this year, assuming that everybody's academically eligible and not in jail and anything else you want to, you know, nobody else gets in trouble or anything like that. And you're right. I mean, when you look at, what was it, 15 guys at Georgia was out for that game in total, and obviously DeAndre Swift didn't start.
Three offensive linemen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, two for the NFL, one was academics.
Right.
And obviously Swift didn't start in that game. So that's why, and I keep saying, listen, Jake Fromm comes back next year. Georgia's right back into, well, let me ask you this. Let's say Tua does go to the NFL, okay? If Jake Fromm comes back, why is Georgia not the favorite to win the SEC?
I don't understand why they wouldn't be. That's the thing about it. They probably would be, but, I mean, who knows? The whole wide receiver thing, I was completely wrong. I didn't think losing all those guys would have a big impact. as it did, because I banked that you got a veteran quarterback who can help these young guys out. It just was.
But did it? Did it? Were they not? Are you saying that their offense wasn't as good because of their wide receiver injuries, or did they not know how to use those guys?
I don't think they knew how to use them. And that's the thing about it, is that they didn't know how to put these guys in positions to do what they do best.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then also you had Jake. Jake missed four or five throws a game. And I'm talking about – that's when we talk about those explosive downfield. Mm-hmm. He missed them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Start with LSU.
You know what I'm saying? You missed them. That was the thing with it. And but, you know, the thing with it is that they're still going to be young at the wide receiver position. Yeah, they got, what, 3 5-star receivers coming in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're still young. So that's what I'm saying. People – I mean, it was a – The receiving corps was too young last year, and now you're bringing in more young guys. So how's that going to make it better? You got to coach better. You got to play better. You got to do some different things.
But you need Pickens and Blaylock to take the next step.
Well, right. The thing with Blaylock is, when is he going to be back? You know, he tore his ACL in the SEC championship game. So how long is it going to take for that young man to get back? I was so excited to watch him play. Caris Jackson, what is he going to do? Are we going to see the real Demetrius Robinson? Will he stand up? I mean, there's so many things that go on with this team that, like I said, okay, they got a 5-star tight end. They're going to use him? I mean, they had a 5-star tight end, and Isaac Nott, did they use him right? No.
So he got 21 catches.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that, you know, this team is going to be good. That defense is where it's at.
Yeah.
That defensive line.
And I will tell you, Nolan is going to be the next.
Nolan and Alagery.
Breakout star in the SEC defensively.
He is a grown. They are going to be so good defensively next year. Don't know what LeCount's going to do. He was, I guess, teetering. Then had a good, two interceptions in the Sugar Bowl. So what does he do? But defensively, man, with N'Kobe Dean, I mean, they're gonna be.
What'd you think about the offensive line, Randy? Because that's your five guys going into 2020.
I thought they played well. I did. I thought Kate got beat one time on an inside move. I think he thought he might probably gonna have some help right there. I think he's gonna be really good. I think Jamari, he's gonna be a good player, that right tackle. So I think they're gonna be fine. I know they're waiting on their commitment from another kid who's supposed to be Andrew Thomas 2.0 or whatever. But I think the offensive line's gonna be fine. I think Mac Luke is a better just overall O line coach than Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman's a hell of a recruiter, and he's a good O line coach. Mac Luke's a hell of an offensive line coach.
I think Georgia's all about what quarterback comes back next year.
Yeah.
Right, that's what it's all about. Georgia's a top 15 team without Jake Fromm. They're back in the playoff hunt if Jake's back. And I know people are – we had this discussion tonight. I know there's a lot of people ready to move on from Jake Fromm. I get it. And I understand. They watched Justin Fields, and at one point it was whatever it was, 40 touchdowns and one interception. But that's not what would have happened here. And the reality is, like it or not, that's the best guy to run your offense is bring your senior quarterback back. There's not a better option to run your offense than bringing that kid back for another year.
Another guy that I thought played really well, and we've kind of waited on this. Some injuries have slowed him down. That's Zamir White, 18 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Randy, I think you go into the spring, and I think there's going to be a real competition there, because McIntosh was another guy that I thought kind of stood out at that running back
spot. He
played
well, man. Yeah. The fact is that you saw the depth and they're bringing in more kids. I mean, I like McIntosh. I was really happy to see what Zeus was able to do when he got a lot of carries, enough carries to showcase what he did. Chris, he's a physical guy.
He is.
I mean, guys just bounce off him. He has some shiftiness to him. He's not as dynamic as a DeAndre Swift, because you saw the one pass that they threw to him, how bad it looked. That was a bad drop. But I thought that, him just, getting that, getting those carries. I really wanted to see that.
But, there's a good contingent of people that are kind of down on Zeus about what he can be, about, does he have that Nick Chubb? I'm not talking from a talent standpoint, but is he going to be that Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, DeAndre Swift? Does he have that in him, health-wise, everything
I think
else?
The biggest thing is the health-wise. It's the health thing. Yeah. I think this kid can play. The thing with this is you didn't see him used enough, so that's why you're down on him. Because the thing about it is all the hype that he came in with, mm-hmm. you haven't seen it, because you had DeAndre Swift.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they were going to use – so you had back-to-back years with 2,000-yard running backs. They weren't going to do that this year with Zeus. They were going to give DeAndre Swift the ball as much as possible. It wasn't going to be no split. You remember we had this conversation before the season, how many yards, whatever.
Well,
it was all about DeAndre. All right, it was his world. They would give him the ball as much as possible. It wasn't going to be the same thing like you had with Nick and Sony and DeAndre and Elijah. Probably, because look at it. If DeAndre wasn't hurt at the beginning of last year, you probably wouldn't hear about a whole lot about Elijah Holyfield.
Right, right. Let me just play contrarian and devil's advocate. You know, when Saban would have those guys, they may not be 2 1,000-yard guys, but you would see that, okay, Eddie Lacy's the heir apparent.
Right.
Trent Richardson's the heir apparent.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was a clear, like, okay, the baton is getting handoff. I don't think he saw as much of that with – I think they really put their eggs, you know, and I understand, listen, he's the best running back, you know, coming into the draft for a reason, DeAndre Swift. But it didn't look like Zamir White was that, okay, we're about to pass the baton off to him and he's the next
right.
he's the next guy. You know, I'm right. That's just plain contrarian, I understand. And, I mean, look, he's got a shot to be the man going into it next year, but – but it is, you know, in talking to some people, it is kind of interesting that some people wonder about health and things like that, if he's ready to be that next superstar mm-hmm. running back that Georgia's used to.
Again, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind. Oh, he is a dirty – well, he got his opportunities, and you saw what he did. Now, is that a small sample size of what's to come? I don't know. I know going into the spring, he's going to be RB1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to do some different things with James Cook, because I think he's going to he's going to stay here. I mean, he's a guy that they got to figure out different ways to get him the ball.
Can Cook be that, like that slash kind of guy
yes.
that can play in the back? You put him in the backfield, you put him in motion, he runs routes out of the backfield, you throw the ball to him that way. Can he, you know, can
yes.
he get 15 touches, maybe
but see, that's what I'm saying.
Nine carries,
that's
six
the thing
receptions.
About it. You got so many guys. Do you get 15 touches for him a game? You know what I'm saying? So where are you taking those touches away? Because that's the thing about yeah. it. Now, if he's going to get 15 touches, somebody's going to get less and less. I think, seven touches a game for him. That's what I was begging for this year on those speed sweeps, throwing some screens, something like, because he can catch the football.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you got other guys coming in, because that one thing that Kirby's going to do, he's going to keep recruiting these running backs. They're going to keep coming in. He's going to keep getting them in there.
It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Games. We take a look back at Georgia and the win over Baylor in the Sugar Bowl, and what is ahead going into 2020 for the Georgia Bulldogs. Which unit improves the most, John, in 2020 for Georgia?
Oh, it'll be the wide receiver core.
Yeah.
If
it
everybody
has
stays
to be.
Healthy. Yeah,
it has
I mean,
to
yeah,
be.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you've seen all year long the talent. And there were plenty of times, Randy, where the Georgia wide receivers didn't do Jake Fromm any favors.
No, they didn't.
There were plenty of times yeah. when that didn't happen. You just naturally expect that will start to fix itself. Another year of conditioning, another year of offseason, that they you know will get better out there. And you know, and I know Randy would joke on Twitter every week about their tight end play. At some point, doesn't somebody have to kind of like assume that role? I mean, and we joke about it, but you know, Randy and Pope and who's the good guy?
Ben.
You know, Ben. I mean, you know. It ain't like they've had Ham and Eggers that rolled through that program. I mean, they've known how to use tight ends before. Get that position back. Bring that position back some.
Yeah, and Brian just threw out a second ago about the defensive line.
That's why I had the defensive line.
Yeah, and I would add the offensive line into that
yeah.
too, only because those five guys, now you get a chance to develop a little bit of consistency
right.
with those same
is
five.
Is the only thing on the defensive line you want to see is more quarterback sacks?
That's it.
Because I got news for you. Nobody ran it against
them. Nobody's going to run against them.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
no.
Nobody ran it. No. Nobody did anything offensively against Georgia's front line this year, by and large.
No, I want to see the quarterback on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see, on the ground.
Well, and that's where I think Nolan becomes – he's that next – he looks like that next guy that's about to, you know, be that elite pass rusher that Georgia's, you know, looked for. You know, I mean, Zoe had that year a couple of years ago, what, about 10 or 11 sacks or whatever, mm-hmm. the national title year. You know, he looks like he's about to break out to be that elite. I saw a couple of guys on Twitter that said in 2 years he's going to be the best defensive player in the SEC.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, the kid has a gift, man. He has that natural bend. And he's a high-character kid that continuously works. Kirby loves him to death because
yep.
he's one of those guys. He does everything Kirby tells him with no pushback. You know, and it's hard, especially in today's game, to find that kid that don't – why? Why I got to do that? Why? He says all he does, right. he puts his head down, he goes to work.
Which unit regresses?
I said the quarterback of Jake
yeah,
leaves.
If
Jake leaves,
back, yeah.
that's the obvious one. What about the secondary? Because there's some losses coming there.
Well, I mean, you lose a J.R. Reed. I mean, that's a
yeah, you lose
kind
of the heart and soul of
yeah.
your defense. You
yeah,
know?
This kid, Lewisine, he looks like he's going to be a player. He looks like he's going to be a player.
I don't fear Kirby reloading on that side of the football. He's gonna be a player. You know what I mean? Like, the, I think it's. I mean, again, I think Georgia 100% of their season is defined by the decision that six. Is he six?
Who's that?
Number six. Jake?
Number 11.
11. It's all about what number 11 decides to do. Whatever he decides to do will dictate a lot about what direction Georgia's going to be next year.
It's going to be
Jake Fromm doesn't come back, I'm telling you, watch out for Florida. There's some opportunities for other teams to take the next step forward.
I agree.
LSU took care of business against Oklahoma. And Clemson knocked off Ohio State.
They just scored another touchdown.
Yeah, they did. Joe Burrow just threw another one.
Threw another touchdown pass.
We'll take a look back at both of those games, the semifinals of the college football playoffs. That's next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. College football game time. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, as we take a look back at the semifinals from earlier this week, actually a week ago now, last Saturday. LSU just put a beatdown on Oklahoma, 63-28. First four plays for Oklahoma tell you all you need to know about this game. Sack, tackle for loss, tackle for loss, and a shanked punt.
And Hilaire didn't even play.
Nope.
Didn't play.
I mean, but the one time he caught the ball, ran the ball, he looked pretty good because he brought that thump to that safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he took his soul. His soul's still over there in Mercedes-Benz. But, yeah, I mean, if you talk to people who were at the game and a lot of the people that were on the sidelines, they said just looking at the teams, it looked like Oklahoma just didn't have any business being there. But, I mean, they had the right to be there.
Well, and you said it right, Randy, is that – everybody had a chance to be in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't like Utah didn't have a chance. It ain't like Georgia didn't have a chance. I mean, and that's the thing, because it's always funny. Like, watching Twitter when that game was going on, oh, man, this is ridiculous. Penn State would have given them a game. Okay, well, they didn't beat, you know, Penn State should have beat some teams then.
Exactly.
Shouldn't have lost to Minnesota and Ohio State. I mean, everybody had their chance.
Sure did.
You know, everybody gets all mad at everything. Okay, well, beat South Carolina. Georgia would have been in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, I'm that's why I don't get – it's a big reason why I don't like the 8 playoff team system is because Georgia had their shot. Georgia was in playoff games this year. You know, Georgia was in them. Listen, I know it's almost next to impossible it feels like playing LSU, you know, but Georgia had their shot.
They sure did.
And this is the funny part. Oh, well, they'd have given them a better game. So if you lose by 4 touchdowns, is that better than 6? I mean, in the scheme of things? Because that's basically what you're telling me. Because Georgia lost by 4 touchdowns in that game, right?
Yep.
37-20 or 13 or whatever? Okay. So if you only lose by 4 touchdowns, that's better than if you lost by 6 to LSU. I mean, with all due respect, they've beat down just about everybody. And I saw somebody say, well, you know, Auburn played them. You want to put Auburn on that turf in that dome against LSU right now?
Did you not? Yeah.
You think that's going to be a good game to watch? No. Are you kidding me? Mm-mm. Come on.
Clemson beat Ohio State in the other semifinal 29-23. That was in the Fiesta Bowl. Good game. Ohio State led 16-0, and Clemson came back, and Clemson did, Randy, what they had to do. They found a way. Yeah. Like, who would have thought coming into that game that Trevor Lawrence would be their leading rusher and that Travis Etienne would be their leading receiver?
You remember when we had last week when we had their
Don Munson on,
and Don Munson said Trevor might be the best dual threat quarterback in the country. All of us said, really? At the same time?
Well, he also said T. Higgins was the best wide receiver in the country,
said,
too.
Really? But, I mean, dude, Trevor played an outstanding – but the thing was, it was – quarterback design runs. You know what I'm saying? Those were called plays on those runs that he had. You saw from the beginning of the game because they shut Travis Etienne down running the football.
Yeah, when he needed to go get yards, that was grown man size run.
Grown man run, but the way he caught the ball and then just like he catches the ball and guys are like 2 yards behind him and he just pulls away from those guys, how explosive he is. I was surprised that because I think one of your buyer sales was where they combined for 170 yards rushing Ohio State versus
Dobbins. And Fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, no, they can't get that. And the way Dobbins was running the football, I mean, it was just the smallest crease, and he was gashing them.
That injury was a big deal because, I mean, obviously it took him out of the flow of what he was doing. But that game was, you know, that's everything you want in a playoff game. Two heavyweight teams. Yep. And listen, I don't care if Ohio State lost. If you can't tell that Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU are so far ahead of everybody else in the country. I mean, with all due respect to Georgia, Florida, Oklahoma, Utah, Oregon, Penn State, I get all that. Those three teams are so good.
That game lived up to everything it was supposed to be. A lot of NFL talent. I mean, Isaiah Simmons is just unbelievable. That interception he had was just unreal.
And I'll say this, honestly, Randy, their offense without T. Higgins wasn't nearly as good. You know, I mean, they needed him on the field to give them at least that outside threat.
I thought Ohio State, especially early, did a great job against those Clemson wide receivers.
You got a kid over there. There's going to be a top five pick.
Yeah,
they put him on T. Higgins.
Yeah,
you know, and so what they're doing now, Clemson is hard to bet against them. I mean, they say don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion. I mean, that's what they did. This is going to be such a good game. And again, we'll talk more about this LSU thing next week. I had a question. Me and Andy talked about it. Do you extend Ed Orgeron?
What's his deal currently?
Yeah, I was going to say, how long has he got?
What's he got, 3 more years or 4 more years?
I think he has 3.
Well, he wins, and I'm sure they will.
Yeah, you will.
I'm talking about right after this season.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets another couple of more years.
Another 2 years, okay. Maybe. Yeah.
I'm just curious.
But again.
And a pay raise. Up there with Nick and him.
Yeah, he'll get that. If he wins the national title, he'll get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like what they really is, okay, what kind of buyout do you want to put on Ed Orgeron?
Because I'm saying, we saw this before.
Because here's the thing. Would Ed Orgeron leave?
No, he's not leaving. But I'm just saying, what if this is, you know.
What if it
goes south quick? Yeah. Just like, remember what Auburn did?
Well, but my question is, there's no job in America, to me, that Ed Orgeron would leave for at this point.
No, I'm not saying he's leaving. I'm saying they're tired. They figure out that, we had – because you always tell me this: when a quarterback plays, has his best year ever. It don't matter how it don't matter how it don't it's amazing how good a coach you are.
Yeah, I agree. I you see that in Auburn, Alabama, don't you?
That's what I said.
You don't hire Ed Orgeron for the X's and O's. You hire Ed Orgeron for the Jimmies and the Joes because he's a recruiter.
I get that, but what if it goes south?
Conference.
In the press conference, but what if it goes south? That's what I was like.
Let me ask you this. Has it slowed Auburn down from giving $49 million to
the
best 9-4 team in America?
Gus just finds a way, doesn't he?
Yeah. And then he got 4 more years because he beat Bama.
He finds a way to stay
employed. Has any coach ever been given the label of best 9-4 team in America more than Gus Malzahn?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Like if the Home Depot College Football Award Show, if they had a best 9-4 team, Gus would win that trophy every year.
What would that trophy look like?
They're the most beloved four-loss team in America every year somehow. Oh, man, you know, Auburn was really good. Were they? Were they really good? Oh, okay. Well, they beat Alabama. Oh, okay. They beat Georgia? They beat Florida? Beat LSU? They beat Minnesota? All right.
It's college football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, look, and I know there was a lot of talk about the targeting call in that game.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the other one, Randy. That was a catch.
Oh,
that was a catch and a fumble.
I don't think so. But, I mean.
I knew it would get overturned. Because he never made a football move.
He never made a football move. Yeah. But the thing with it is that I like how they did the replay. Because now they're doing the replay and they're doing it. They're looking at it in fast motion. You know what I'm saying? They're looking at it in real time. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, when you slow it down, it messes up what the perception is. But I don't think he made a football move.
Couldn't the referee have blown his whistle for no forward progress on that play?
The other thing. If you rule it a completed catch, then forward progress.
Yeah, because he never made any forward progress on the play.
Right.
So even if he catches it, isn't the play basically over?
And that was something that I thought that Herbie and Fowler missed. During the course of that game, as I kept watching that replay of it, as they kept showing it, because I thought it was a catch, and if the whistle wasn't blown, if they didn't say it was a forward progress, I thought the touchdown should have stood, because to me it looked like clearly he had possession of the ball.
I thought they'd overturn that call, and I know everybody got mad about the targeting, but they've called that play all year.
That's the exact definition of targeting.
Have you seen what they're talking about now?
Right.
Multiple definitions of targeting now is what they're talking about.
Oh, gosh.
They're talking about in the offseason.
Like one, if it's
– Is that like a flagrant one in basketball?
Yeah, I like it. I hate the damn targeting rule. I hate the fact that this kid That kid, okay, he made that, the kid who, Trevor Lawrence, that wasn't malicious. So why is he throwing out the damn game? It wasn't malicious. Yeah, it was targeting to the rules or whatever. Right. But that wasn't malicious. Now, the hit that Edwards-Helaire got from Oklahoma,
yeah.
Okay, you got to go. Man. You got to go. But the hit on Trevor Lawrence, you don't throw him out of game for it. Okay, it's a targeting penalty, give him the yards, whatever. But that wasn't no that's my thing. And that's why I hope they do that, because of intent. What was the intent?
Well, they're talking about part of it is the penalty part of it, not just the kid getting thrown out part of it, but the way the penalty is. They're already – Again, they're already talking about overreacting, just like in the NFL with the pass interference.
Yes.
Now they're talking about overreacting to how targeting was.
Same thing. Yes. And this is getting this is getting ridiculous. It's college football game time here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, let's take a look at some of these other games, including what was I know, look, the Clemson-Ohio State game was great. That Rose Bowl between Oregon and Wisconsin
so good.
That was fantastic again. And Justin Herbert, I think – what we saw in that game to me, John, was pretty much it's like that game showed Justin Herbert's entire career. There were times when he looked really good. There were times when he looked really bad in that game.
But I must say this, though, Chris, and more than even Jake Fromm, nobody in America had their wide receivers do less for him than Justin Herbert did this whole year. Like, his wide receivers dropped so many passes for him. Start with Auburn and go all the way through to the Rose Bowl. His wide receivers all year long did him no favors. I mean, he had – how many drops do they have, you know, in that Rose Bowl? How many drops do they have that cost them a wide open touchdown against Auburn that may win that game for them? So I don't think I agree. There were times, but that kid made so many good throws that his wide receivers couldn't make a play on that he just kept slinging it back. There's a reason why he's considered one of the top three or four quarterbacks himself.
I think he's a damn good player, man. And you saw the athleticism running for those three touchdowns. That first touchdown run was just, get off me.
Yeah.
Just get off me. But Wisconsin beat themselves. You can't have four turnovers. What the hell was the punter doing? Like, come on, man. You got one job. Catch it and kick it. But you want to – I mean, those are the ones that make you mad when you're every day a regular player.
Jonathan Taylor becomes the second player in FBS history with consecutive 2,000 yards rushing seasons. Troy Davis with Iowa State did it first, and then Jonathan Taylor last year and this year over 2,000 yards. 16.3 million viewers, second most watched non-college football playoff New Year's Six Bowl ever.
Yeah, it was a great matchup, great game. I mean, it was everything that you hoped for. And I will say that Herbie and them did that game. There is something different about the way the Pac-12 and the Big Ten attacked that game. You know what I mean? There is something
to coin a phrase from the SEC, it just means more.
Yeah. There is about the rivalry in that game when you get those two conferences together.
College football game time here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We'll take a look back as we begin a new decade. We'll give you our top five college football moments from the decade that just ended. That's next. College football game time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.